Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. Hello, everyone. It's March 31st, 2021. Don't forget, tomorrow's National Atheist Day. Just kidding, April Fool's Day. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So anyway, you can use that any way you want. Hopefully you won't offend or hurt too many people with that, but have a little fun with it anyway. April 1st, April Fool's Day. This is Holy Week, and a lot of great things happening around the world, but especially here at church. And I want to share some of those things with you. Holy Week is Passion Week, sometimes called. It's an excellent time before Passover, before Easter, to slow down and recalibrate your life. And I purposely do this in this week. There's a lot of things going on, and my life's always busy. But I purposely spend extra time in prayer and some time of fasting away from food and more time in prayer to just prepare my heart to hear God. And I recommend that you do that during this week. And, of course, this Friday is Good Friday. We have the Seder dinner. It's already sold out, so if you don't have a ticket, I'm sorry, but maybe next year, Lord willing. But Good Friday is, of course, the day that you know, we think about Jesus dying on the cross for us. We think of John 3:16. And then we think of Passover season this week. Exodus 12, if you want to read about that, the first Passover and how God told Israel, his people, to make sure they always commemorate Passover every year and take time to remember how God has delivered them. And he said specifically, when I see the blood, I will pass over you or your household, and the death angel will not be able to afflict you. So when we think of Passover, we think of Easter, we think of Jesus, our Passover lamb, we think of his crucifixion, we think of his passion, we think of all that he endured for us, and then he died, was buried, and rose again. And as I said Sunday, on Palm Sunday, the lamb had to be selected by every family. They had to have already chosen a lamb, at least by that day. They would choose the lamb that they were going to have on Passover feast. And so today, we don't have to select a lamb. We've already chosen Jesus as our lamb. God's lamb for us is Jesus. And so we already have him. And this Sunday, Easter Sunday, we're going to have a presentation. I like to say presentation rather than a production, because our mission statement involves presenting Jesus. That's why we're here. It's what we're about. And so we're presenting Jesus to people, the revelation of grace and truth. It sets people free. So I want to encourage you to invite your neighbors, your family, unchurched friends to come to church to this presentation, a live presentation of the miracle of Easter. It's going to be phenomenal. You won't forget it. It's going to be a great blessing. And so it's a great opportunity to do outreach and go after unchurched people that you know or you have in your life. But today I want to talk to you briefly about something the Lord is dealing with me on, especially in this past week. Sometimes, like you, my life can get really busy. And I can get to the point where I'm doing a lot of things, but I can get overwhelmed or an overwhelming feeling. And it was starting to get that way to me last week. I just had a lot of things to do, more than usual. And I stopped and had to pause and ask the Lord, help me to know what to do. I'm starting to feel overwhelmed. I know that's not your will for me. And the Lord, through my wife Pam, actually showed me a scripture, and she didn't realize how important it was to me to read that scripture at that particular time. But God has a way of getting you and your eyes and your heart focused on something he wants you to see through a variety of ways. And anyway, She read to me this scripture, and this scripture is going to come up on the screen. I want you to see this in Psalm 25, verses 12 through 14. And I'm reading out of the Modern English Version. It says this: "Who is the man who fears the Lord?" I write scriptures that I'm meditating on. I write them out on a little 3x5 card so I can keep them with me. So I'm reading it now from this card. I keep it in my pocket, pull out when I want to just chew on it for a while. "Who is the man who fears the Lord? He, God, will teach him," the man who fears the Lord, "in the way that he should choose. His soul shall dwell at ease." So when you're feeling overwhelmed, you don't feel like your soul's dwelling at ease. But if you fear the Lord, God says he will teach you the way you should choose, the decisions that you are facing you, the choices that you have to make, and your soul will dwell at ease. God will teach you what to do, what not to do, when to do it, when not to do it. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, "The counsel of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will make his covenant known to them." I want to unpack this verse for you tonight. I'd like you to write this verse down because you'll forget it after you're done listening here. So write it down. Put it on a little 3x5 card or something you can keep with you and go back and chew on this. God may want to unpack some things personally to you that I haven't seen. Psalm 25, verses 12 through 14. The fear of the Lord is obviously the reverence and respect for the Lord, but it is also a great awareness that God is with me even when I don't feel him. And I know we know this in our head, but it's another thing to live with the fear of the Lord. When you have the fear of the Lord in you, which the Bible says it's the beginning of knowledge, it's the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs. When you have the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord in you, you become aware and conscious of God's presence in your life, and you realize that you are not the one really in charge. God is. And as a result of that, that'll manifest in your life, I think, a variety of ways. But one way I want to talk to you tonight particularly is it will manifest itself in your life by prayer. You will become a person of prayer. And you'll spend time in prayer more than the average person because of the fear of the Lord inside you. And the Bible says, "Who is the man who fears the Lord?" And the answer is that God will show this one who fears the Lord the way that he should choose. His soul will dwell at ease. So prayer is your walkie-talkie with God. And that's you have that going on all throughout your day. Maybe word, thoughts, or deeds, but you keep a conscious thinking of the presence of God and a conversation going on with God. You pray about everything before you proceed. I remember as a little boy, down from our house was a railroad track. And at that railroad track back in that time, they had this cross X with the saying right before the railroad tracks. It said, "Stop, look, and listen." And so that's what that you were supposed to do with a car, to make sure you stop, make sure you look both ways, and you listen, and before you proceed. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is making a stop, look, and listen, and talk to God about something before we just run on ahead and think we're doing the right thing. Part of the reason that we get overwhelmed so easily is we have so many things going on. And I don't know about you, but it's been my experience that anytime that I'm in a hurry and I catch myself trying to go faster to get things done, I make a mistake. And sometimes it can be a serious mistake. And so you have to back up. And so I would encourage all of us, the Christian life is not a hurried life. It may not be that you need to take care of so many things. You might need to delegate some of those things or just not be able to do all those things in one particular day or grouping of time. And so God wants all of us to stop, look, and listen. And we do that by prayer. And I don't know what your prayer life is like,
But I hope you have a good prayer life. And that's the area of our life. We're always deepening. We're always enlarging. We're always expanding. And, prayer is vital to us. We're called to be a house of prayer. And when I say pray, I mean not just saying your prayers, not just talking at God, but interacting with God and listening for God, and not necessarily hearing with these ears, but hearing with an inner knowing in your heart, or seeing in your life that God is arranging things and putting things as a result of that. Could be an answer to prayer too. And so it's just important before you realize that God says to us, for example, in his word in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy 30 verses 19, God says, I set before you, his people, life and death. Choose life. So decisions that we're all called upon to have to make, we should wait before we make a decision until it becomes clear that it's either life or death. It has either the life of God in it, God's green light to, yes, this is the way I want you to go, or it has death in it. It's certainly not in agreement with God. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 25, what I was talking to you about, the one you're meditating on, is that we have to be people who learn to fear God by spending time in prayer dependence. The fear of the Lord, if you have it, is evident because you spend the time in prayer that a lot of people would say you're just wasting your time. Well, I would say to myself, and I would say to anybody else who is a leader in church in any capacity, whether you are a pastor, you're an elder, you're a leader of a group, or you're head of a part of a ministry at the church, I would say, don't get so busy you don't have time to pray. I know how that can be. You get so busy that you'll catch prayer on the run, or you'll just ask God to bless your activities and so forth. But we got to realize that all of us are busy. And it seems like the older we get, the busier we get. And I notice a lot of retired people are busier now than they were in their life when they had their children at home and when they were working full time. My own life here at this church, I'm so thankful God called me to be a pastor, but sometimes I can get too busy for God. I mean, there's administration meetings, there's sermon preparation, there's problem solving, there's unexpected things that happen in people's lives, there's budget discussions, there's marriage and family concerns and in my own life as well as in the lives of all the people here. And this can make you a slave to the tyranny of the urgent. And there's decisions that need to be made. We get busy, busy, busy. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this quote, which I like. He said, I have so much to do today that I must spend it the first 3 hours in prayer. Wow. What an eye-opener. Here's an extremely busy man, a lot of people pulling at him for guidance and direction. He's the leader of this Reformation that went out throughout the world. And he said, I am so busy that today I have got to spend at least 3 hours in prayer before he will go out and do any of these things. That's an eye-opener, isn't it? I think most people struggle with prayer because to them prayer is boring. Don't let your prayer life become boring. Ask God questions. Anticipate that he will answer in some way, his own time, of course. And listen, trust God's timing that once you ask a question, he wants to give you guidance and direction. He wants to show you and speak to you. And there's various ways he'll speak to you. Like I said at the beginning, this Psalm 25 scripture was an answer to what I was talking to God about, being overwhelmed. What am I supposed to do? And the answer came through my wife, Pam, as she felt compelled just to share with me this scripture. And it just happened to be what I needed. I mean, God is a genius and so creative in how he can communicate to you through people, through scriptures, through creation, a variety of ways. But you got to expect that he's going to. Don't let prayer become boring for you. Now back to Psalm 25, verse 14. Here's the promise. The counsel of the Lord is with those who fear him. The counsel of the Lord. In other words, God will give you counsel. He will counsel you in this matter that you're talking to him about, you're concerned about. The Christian life is supposed to be a mysterious, wondrous life. In other words, where people look at us and they ask us questions. How are you able to do this? And how are you able to do that? How did you know to do this? Or how did you know to do that? The Christian life is intended to be a mysterious life, a supernatural life. And the truth is, even Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we don't even know how to pray for things as we ought. And that's where Romans 8 indicates that praying in tongues, that mysterious language, that speaking to God that our mind doesn't understand and no one else understands, speaking in tongues is one of the ways we spend time in prayer. And it's not a waste of time. Your mind will say it's just a waste of time. But when you're praying in tongues to God, God understands. You don't understand, but your spirit is understanding, and you're releasing things in conversation to God that only God can understand. Part of your prayer life needs to be, much of it needs to be in tongues, in deep tongues, and just talking to God in tongues. Walking around talking in tongues to God. And of course, the Scripture says in Romans 8, pray for the interpretation. Ask God, say, God, would you give me the interpretation of what I'm praying so that it can edify my mind? And that interpretation, for me anyway, doesn't usually come right then. It may not come until 2 or 3 days later, and a problem will be solved, or I'll understand something. And it was the Lord giving an answer to what I was praying, giving me the interpretation of what I was praying in tongues. See, this life, the Christian life, is to be so spiritually mysterious and wondrous that we're not supposed to always know what we're supposed to do or what we're going to do or what we're even going to say at times. You know the ark, Noah's ark? God put Noah and his family in that ark. Of course, the rains and floods and everything came. That ark had no way to drive, or no way, it didn't have a rudder. The ark didn't have a rudder, and it didn't have a steering wheel. So Noah and his family were at the mercy of God's direction. Well, the Spirit-led life is the same way. We're to be Spirit-led, not head-led. Spirit-led. And as the ark had no rudder, we don't steer our lives. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what Romans 8 says. And that's where praying in tongues comes in very handy, because we pray in tongues knowing that we don't know what we're praying. We don't even know how we should pray about certain things. But the Spirit knows how we should pray. So just as God knew how to lead Noah's ark to its specific resting place on Mount Ararat, he knows how to lead you. He knows how to lead me. He knows how to get us from where we are to where we're supposed to be. And our part is to be dependent upon him and trust in him without trying to understand everything. Don't lean into your own understanding. So I'm just saying this to you, especially this week in Holy Week, as we get ready, coming up on Passover. We're in Passover. We come up on Easter, Resurrection Day. It's so important that you and I honor God, not by just going to church or giving offerings and things like that, but that we spend the time in prayer this week, and we honor God through prayer. And we take the time to pray, irregardless of how busy you are. You got people coming over, you got this and that. I understand, God understands. But so I ask you this question, not to condemn you, not to shame you, but to make you think. Is your life getting too busy, where your prayer life is, your prayer part of your life, your journaling time, your meditation time is dwindling down? I would say stop. You need to look. And you need to listen. That's not God's will for you. Are you too busy to pray? Danger, danger, danger. Slow down. You've lost your fear of the Lord. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He, God, will teach him in the way he should choose. You're about to make some decisions. You're going to make some serious mistakes. Slow down. Take time to pray. Wait upon the Lord for the answers. Don't run ahead of him. Don't lag behind him. Walk in sync with him. And that's, you do that by maintaining a daily prayer life with God that fear shows you fear the Lord. You respect him. God does not need your work. He does not need you to do a lot of things for him. He doesn't need you to do one thing for him. So I remember a dear brother taught a lesson years ago. The title was Beware of the Barrenness of a Busy Life. I agree. Slow down. If you're busy, slow down, because you don't want to make a serious mistake that you may regret or it may hurt other people. I want to pray for you. And I'm going to ask that this week that you use this message to remind you to slow down. Take some extra prayer walks. Maybe spend some time in fasting. Fast at lunchtime, fast at breakfast, and go for a prayer walk or fast the day. And if you're new to fasting, just let the Lord lead you with that. It's part of what we're supposed to do. But spend the time, extra time in prayer. Ask God to help you with your prayer life. If you're struggling with that, ask him. Say, I need help, God. I don't know why this has become hard for me, but help me with it, and he'll help you. So God does not need your busyness. He wants your heart. He's after your heart. Give him your heart. So Father, I pray right now for those who's watching somebody tonight. Hears this message, and they hear more than my voice. They hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking through my voice in this broadcast to their heart, calling them back to their prayer closet. Show them how to go into the prayer closet and shut the door of distraction and get back to keeping the main thing the main thing. I love you. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you this Sunday. Until then.